Anyway, tonight is kind of a connection to one of the earlier topics that we talked about. And this actually stems from a small discussion on a Facebook group that I'm on. Over 800 pastors are on it. Someone had posted, I think it was Jonathan Lehman, who's with Nine Marks, if you're familiar with Mark Dever and that group. But the idea that the Word of God needs to be read. And so I posted it. And I just gave like a little personal testimony, and I said, of all the things that I've been exposed to, there's nothing that has impacted me more than the ongoing reading through the Word of God each year. It isn't that other things aren't important, but that has sustained me and taught me more, I think, overall, as far as a day-to-day walk with God type of thing. So it picks up here. If you look at the top here, it says Biblical Watershed Issues, Reading the Entire Bible as a Habit. I believe that's a watershed issue. If you don't read the Bible, and I'm talking about daily, but also through the Bible, regularly, it changes the way you approach things. Now listen, I grew up in an era where people had devotions. Okay? Now, I'm not speaking against that, but at least a lot of the devotions were someone would take a little verse and then you'd read that and you'd read a paragraph that they commented on. And then that would be your exposure to the Word of God that day, and that's all you would have. And it wasn't in context. It really, you didn't see where it is. And it was random. Through each day was a different verse, different topic. It was just random all the way through. And then you got to where you could buy devotionals. You can still buy them today. Where you buy a devotional and you read something and it kind of stimulates. But it's not connected to yesterday. It's not connected to tomorrow. And all of that. It's not necessarily bad. I just think it's like trying to eat a bite of 1,000 different things and then somehow figure out what it means. I think that makes it a lot harder to retain anything. But it ended up being like a light diet rather than really encouraging people to read through the Word of God. And there's absolutely no reason under the sun in our day that you can't spend 15 or 20 minutes a day and read through the entire Bible every year. I mean, it's not even a heavy investment of time. And we'll talk about that a little bit too. But I have basically 11 reasons. And these are, I commented on it because one guy, his comments are primarily at the top here, that first paragraph. But here's the statement. Biblical watershed issues, reading the entire Bible as habit, is what I've entitled this after the fact. And here's the subtitle. There is no command to read the Bible. Or is there? Okay, with the idea of reading through the Bible even. Now, this is this gentleman's comment, and we both agreed. It wasn't in any way an argument. I just clarified, because he says this, so I wrote, I think, six things, and then I've expanded on it for tonight. But he said, and yet, it's nowhere suggested or commanded in Scripture for, and I want you to grab a hold of this, average Christian followers. Average Christ followers, rather, who in most ages, in most places, have not been able to read the Word regularly. Okay? And no one would argue that statement. Most people have had nothing to read most of time, right? Till the printing press came around. Instead, meditation or spending time thinking about the Word of God is. He says that's what the focus of the Bible is. Just as an observation that I think cuts to the heart of why there is no such law or command. We wouldn't necessarily disagree with anything he says, but I think it leaves a gap in our thinking that it says it's okay not to read through the Bible. All right? You know, people have not had a copy of the Word of God for most of time. If they heard the Word of God, that's all they had. Someone would read it, and that's all they had. They could maybe somehow memorize it, but that's all they had. Okay? So my question here, and the question I pull up here is this. Is there an expectation by God for Christians to be reading the entire Bible? And if you believe the answer is no, you won't be reading your Bible through. That's a watershed issue. And if you think it's not important or it's only for non-average Christ followers, who would they be? The professionals, right? The Pastor Jims. Maybe even deacons would have to read the Bible every now and then. Right? If you believe no, then there's really no reason to even probably own this. Fair? Why have 66 books that you're not going to read? Put a couple posters up in your house of your favorite verses, and that's all you need to have. But if your answer is yes, that the Word of God is there on purpose for us, and we have it today, and therefore we should be reading it, it'll change your life a different way. Is there an expectation by God for Christians to be reading the entire Bible? I believe the answer is yes. And I give you 11 at least considerations, right? Here's a paragraph I wrote. I said, I understand what you say. And again, understand this was a conversation on Facebook here. But I would argue that the Bible implicitly, in other words, it implies, it doesn't have to say it outright. It implicitly expects, and I quote, average Christ followers, I'm using his term, to be familiar with the entire Bible. While I agree that there is no command to, quote, read through the Bible every year, unquote, or even regularly, we do know at least 11 things that suggest that the answer is still yes. Even though there's not a command, the Bible doesn't command you to come on Wednesdays. It doesn't even command you to come on Sundays. Fair? It commands you to assemble with believers. All right? So there's a lot of things. If you're looking for an explicit, outright command, there's a lot of things that you would remove that are still very much expected in Scripture. Okay? Let's look at these, and there's just a single word for each one of these, and I don't even put all of the sentence up here. I bolded the key point of each of these 11 points, but there's a single word to put up or write in for each one of these points, okay? So, even though there's not a command to read through your Bible every year, or even regularly, you shall read your Bible through regularly, you know, whatever, we do know the following. Number one, and this to me is probably the biggest argument for doing this. What do you think the word is? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And the way the verse is written, it means, therefore, all is profitable. All Scripture is profitable. For doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now let me ask you this. If God gave you all of Scripture, why would you ignore most of it? If all of Scripture is profitable, isn't the implied idea is that therefore you should be in the Scriptures? Because it's all profitable. That's like saying going through a buffet and saying it's all tasty, but I'm just going to have a little bit of this. Well, it's all part of the meal. You paid one fee and Lynn can eat for days, right? On the same amount of money. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. All of it's profitable. And then I just abbreviate for four listed functions beyond making one wise in the salvation, which is a fifth function. From the child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to what? Make you wise to salvation. And all Scripture is breathed out of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto what? All good works. That sounds like a pretty profitable book to me. Right? The implied idea is, since it's profitable, you should be taking advantage of what it does. This fact declares the value of all of Scripture, which seems to implicitly expect believers to be accessing all of Scripture. So, you as a believer, because God gave you the Word of God, and you have access, a privilege and an opportunity that most people throughout all of time have not had, you have it, and it's profitable. There is absolutely no reason why you're not reading through this, because it's all profitable. You should be reading through it regularly, and then I would encourage you that it's not burdensome whatsoever to read through the Bible every year. At all. It's not at all burdensome. The average person can read through the Bible in 15 to 20 minutes a day. This Bivocational pastor will finish on the 15th of December. Maybe it's the 14th. My Bible plan that's on my YouVersion Bible, I use a different one, different years. I read 6 days a week. Sundays there's just devotional reading. And it's still, I end up finishing 2 weeks before the 8 years out. It's not that hard at all. And I'm very busy. And now it's a habit. And every now and then I miss a day. Sometimes I don't even notice it. It's been so busy of a day and I look and, oh no, I missed. So I just read 2 days. It's not a legalistic thing. But it's doable in a very easy way. And I don't care who you are and how busy you are, because it's spiritually and eternally profitable, there's no reason to bypass that. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. So you need to be reading all of Scripture. How long have we been in the book of Luke? How many of you were not born when... No, it hasn't been that long. We started like 2 years ago in December. Okay? Now, Luke is the longest gospel. He's the most prolific writer in the New Testament, believe it or not. Luke and Acts, there's more in Luke and Acts than any other writer. But you can't cover all the books of the Bible. You just can't as a pastor or whatever. And the only way you as a believer are going to get exposed to the Word of God in its entirety regularly is not going to be in Sunday school, not going to be in from sermons, even though that's all important and the Bible says that's essential too. You need to be reading the Word of God from cover to cover, because every part of it is profitable. Okay, number two. Since it's all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, it's all profitable, therefore it's all intended to be read. Number two. Believers are commanded to meditate, and I commented in parentheses there, as this gentleman had rightly suggested. What he seemed to suggest was we're supposed to meditate, we don't have to read it, we're supposed to meditate on it. That seems to be contrasting the two. And I'm saying you cannot have one without the other. Okay? Believers are commanded to meditate, as you rightly suggest, but one cannot meditate upon the law. You shall meditate in the law, the Old Testament passages used, without being aware of it in some sense of its entirety. It doesn't say part of the law. It doesn't say pick your favorite verse, and that's all you meditate on. It says meditate on what? The law, that would be the law in its entirety, not just a sliver out of the law. Does that make sense? If someone says to meditate on, I'll pick a fiction book. It's a book that has a lot of spiritual things in it, but it's Les Miserables. If you're familiar with it, it's super long. It was the longest book I'd ever read, and then I found out that I'd only read the abbreviated version. I listened to it in digital form, and Mary, what was it, 60-some hours? It's a long book. If someone said, and I'm just picking a book out of the sky blue, right? But something I enjoy the book, and it's one of the few fiction books I've read. But I said, if someone says to meditate on Les Miserables, and I'm not saying you need to meditate on Les Miserables. I'm using it for an illustration here, okay? If someone says to meditate on it, you wouldn't think, I'm going to pull one sentence out of it and just chew on that. You would need to read through it and understand what it's all about and the different facets and the different plots and subplots and the characters and the timeline. Right? All of that is involved in meditating or pondering or thinking about, chewing on. You can't meditate on nothing. And you can't meditate on a tiny bit without kind of getting a big picture view too, because you don't know how that tiny bit fits in. Right? A verse without a context is it what Dr. Kober would say is a pretext. You're drawing conclusions that you have no right to draw because you haven't seen the rest of the picture. Okay? Let me read here now. One cannot meditate upon the law without being aware of it in some sense of its entirety. You kind of need to know the whole picture. And in the Old Testament, it was a little easier because how much of the law was the law at that time? Right? They didn't have it all, but the law continued to grow as the prophets would write and so on until the book of Malachi. That was all considered part of the law as it expanded. So the more that was written, the more it needed to be understood. Psalm 1:3, it says, it actually should be 1:2, in His law He meditates day and night. Okay, in His law He meditates day and night. And Joshua 1:8-9 says, you shall meditate in it, not part of it. And I'm not saying you can't meditate on a part, but you can't exclude the rest while you meditate on it. You have to get the big picture to make the small picture make sense. Okay, it all goes together. In fact, I can't imagine trying to meditate on part of Leviticus without getting parts of Exodus and all that so you understand how it falls into place. You have to get all of the picture. Psalm 1:2, in the law, in Joshua 1:8, you meditate in it, would expect the reader to meditate on the fullness of the law, not just in, excuse the quote, but our daily bread verse out of context. Because there's much more to that. One cannot meditate upon what one has not been adequately exposed to. If you can underline anything on your notes here, I would underline that. One cannot meditate upon what one has not been adequately exposed to. You cannot walk away and think deeply on something that you don't even remember. That you haven't covered it enough to get. You can't meditate on nothing. That would be transcendental meditation. That would be Far Eastern religion meditation. No, you fill your mind and then you think on that. I in no way expect to cover all the Bible in sermons and studies in my lifetime. As I wrote here, the only way believers will get all of God's Word is to read it. That is really the only way. And you've heard me share this before. There's people like, some of you know who J. Vernon McGee is. And he went 5 years through the entire Bible. And it was a daily radio show, a half-hour radio show. And he was a good expositor and all that, but let me tell you, you never listened and tried to study. If you got his transcribed commentary, it leaves you wanting because you can't cover it that fast without leaving a whole bunch out. Right? And that isn't to take it, it's like a high flyover view is the best you can do. Right? But the most pastors can't do that. You only have so much time to cover it. Several years ago at Northridge, I think we preached a sermon out of every book of the Bible. You know what, though? We most of the Bible was ignored by doing that. It was good because it kind of gave you a taste of every book, but it left out the majority of every book. Because you can't cover it all. There's 66 books, 1,189 chapters. You can do the math, but at 1,189 chapters, if you covered a chapter a day, every Sunday, You know, divide that by 52 and it would take you forever. And let me tell you, Psalm 119 has 176 verses. And we're finding in Luke that his first and last chapters, you know, first several and the last several chapters have 60, 70, or 80 verses. There's no way to cover it adequately. And then you're not covering topically. You're not discussing things in any kind of systematized way or whatever. You're not doing a study on finances. You're not doing a study. It's just chapter by chapter, right? So there's no way. The only way you can get exposed to the entire Word of God and keep exposed to it is to read through it regularly. And I encourage you to do it every year. There's not a person here that can't do that, that's of reading age that can do that. Right? Number three, believers are pointed to meditate knowingly. This probably hinges on the last one as well. I pulled up Psalms here. But believers are pointed to meditate knowingly on God and His works by David in the Psalms. He uses the concept of meditate several times. And this is what he says, and it's just a quick summary here. But David says this, I will meditate on your work and your works. The references are in your notes. Or on your precepts. Precepts are things that God would have written. The rules or instructions. How do you meditate on them if you're not reading them? Contemplate your ways, he said. I will meditate on your wondrous works. I will meditate on your statutes. What seemed to be differentiated from precepts, by the way. I will meditate on your word. That sounds like it's an all-encompassing idea. And then on the glorious splendor of your majesty. Most of that you have no idea what it is unless you're reading the Word of God. And I put that down in the last sentence there. We know these things not by a cheat sheet, but by reading God's Word. Over and over you get exposed who God is, what God has done, what God is doing, what God will do. I just finished the book of Joel this week. Joel is three small chapters, some of which you've been exposed to in Romans 10. The remnant will call on the name of the Lord at the end of time and be delivered by God in a physical deliverance. We've discussed that in detail in times past. But that idea is you see him working in the past. You see him working at the present time when it was written to Israel at that time. And also the fact that he's going to come back and fix things. And the sun will be darkened, the moon, all of this stuff. That's future yet. Right? And all of it you get exposed to. I didn't memorize the book of Joel. I just got exposed to it. And every time I read it, it helps me a little more. It helps me to see the bigger picture. It helps me to focus in on who God is, what He's done in the past, what He's done in the present, what He's done in the future, what He will do in the future. And also, listen, it helps me to understand who I am. We'll see that in a minute. Okay? Number four, believers are to meditate always, day and night, Psalm 1, 2, and Joshua 1, 8, and 9. It implies that in part, at least in part it does, if you have to meditate day and night on the Word of God, that means there's a lot to meditate on. How many of you remember one point that I preached Sunday? How about a half a point? And I'm not shocked. I'm illustrating. How do you think you're going to go and meditate by just hearing? Fair? That was just Sunday. I didn't ask for two Sundays ago or a year ago last Sunday. You need to be in the Word of God because you won't remember what you hear, not very much of it. And most of us have like Teflon brains. Oh no, it didn't stick at all, thanks. Still squeaky clean between my ears. Part of it's our culture because we're overstimulated. Part of it is we're lazy because we don't work hard at remembering. And that's just being fair. But also, our brains are damaged with sin. Peter said, I'm writing to you again because you need to be reminded. Because you don't remember everything. Just don't ask me what for me to name 6 points from last Sunday's sermon. And I translated it and everything. Right? We have to stay in the Word of God. I think the Word of God is meant to be brought up over and over, not just listened to and then gone away. Though I think we're to spend more time after we listen than we do. I think we're supposed to take what we've been taught and go home and chew on it. Otherwise, that was my illustration. It doesn't stick, right? We're to meditate always. It implies that in part the quantity of Scripture requires lifelong, all the time, day and night, focus. It's not a small thing, but it's the foundation for all of life. It's to be how you think and how you look at everything. It isn't something you do on the side. It's something that is supposed to immerse your brain, and then everything you see is seen through the lens of the Word of God. That's what it's intended to do. And the reading helps you to connect the pieces and stuff like that too. Even though we listen and forget, there's some residual stuff there, even when we don't try hard. And the pieces slowly fall together at a small level. I think, like I said, we still need to meditate more on what we're taught. I think we need to memorize. I think we need to spend more time. But this is certainly at a ground level what we need to do. It's all the time, the Bible says. Not just once a day, not just every now and then. No, we need to fill our minds with the Word of God, and that's why we meditate. That's what we chew on all day long. Number 5 here, believers are to think and meditate on content. Again, these are slightly different than the last one here. We're to meditate always. We're to meditate knowingly. We're to meditate on the law, which kind of overlaps with number 2 here. But content, we're commanded to think and to meditate on what is true, what is noble, what is just, what is pure, what is lovely, what is of good report, what is virtuous, and what is praiseworthy, according to Philippians 4:8. There is absolutely no way you can know or discern what is, and I'll read the list again, true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous, or praiseworthy, unless you're measuring everything by the Word of God. And an ongoing reading, and guess what? You can't read one verse and have that capacity. That's why I'm not big on devotionals and stuff. I'm not saying they're inaccurate, though I'm sure many of them are, just because they're taking verses without a context. But you don't get the full picture. And God says you need to read it all. There's a reason why you read it all, because it touches on different things throughout Scripture. You don't get everything in every passage. You don't get everything in every book. Right? They have different focuses, different reasons. That's why you need to be exposed to the entire Word of God on an ongoing basis. You forget it, and you can't just read one part and get everything you need. Number 5, and I think we're... Number 6, rather. We're on the back side of your notes. Believers are to let the Word of Christ dwell in them richly. Colossians 3:16, right? If you've memorized that, it's a command. It's an ongoing command. It's like, well, there's no command to read the Bible, but how do you let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly if you're not letting the Word of God be in you in the first place? I mean, this implies that you are in the Word of God so it can dwell in you richly. Okay? This presents an expectation of knowledge of, and I use his word to some degree, average followers. It's not written to pastors. And they are to let the Word of Christ dwell in every one of them richly. Right? And this presents an expectation of knowledge of average followers being exposed to the entire Word of God. Because it doesn't say parts of the Word of God. It doesn't say your favorite verses out of the Word of God. It says let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. So that means you're being exposed to the entire gamut of the Word of Christ, not just a piece of it. And the more you have, the more you can let it dwell in you and the more you can let it impact you. I'll keep reading here. The accompanying practices of that verse, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. How does it go? Teaching and admonishing one another. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, right? That's the accompanying identifying characteristics. The accompanying practices for letting the Word of Christ dwell in one richly includes teaching and admonishing one another, which requires biblical knowledge. And again, you couldn't even tell me, and I'm just illustrating, I'm not yelling at you, but you couldn't tell me, well, one point from Sunday. How do you keep that in your head? By keeping reading the Word of God. Right? Cycling it through your head. Teaching and admonishing one another, which requires biblical knowledge, and singing with biblical content. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, depending on who you talk to, psalms most definitely are where? Where do you find them? In the Bible. How many are there? I just read 150 today in my Bible reading. Just finished the Psalms. It throws in Psalms with other stuff, right? But the hymns and spiritual songs, depending on who you talk to, are different portions of the Psalms or different places in Scripture. Or it could be outside even, but it's saying that you can't sing properly, biblically, without being in the Word of God. And you certainly can't sing accurately without being in the Word of God, right? A lot of songs today aren't really in the Word of God, right? They're not focused on what the Word of God says. Here's the next one here, and this one will tie into something we brought out in the adult class. Everyone here is in the adult class, so that's good. I'm not wrecking somebody's Sunday school class. But teachers, we brought this up in the class. It's a believers need the benefits that come from reading the Bible every day. Now, this is a point that we brought out again in Sunday school. But number 7 here says believers need the benefits that come from reading the Bible every day. And again, I'm interacting with the guy, so that's why there's some more first person here. But I would argue that there are no average Christ followers. I don't believe that there's an average Christ follower, that the expectations are lower. You don't have to do much because you're just an average Christ follower. I don't think there's a biblical... It's narrow is the way or broad is the way. There's not an average is the way. You're either obeying or you're disobeying. There's no average. You're taking up your cross or you're refusing to take up your cross. There's no average Christian, okay? In the Old Testament, kings were required, this is in Deuteronomy 17, 14 to 20, the reference is in your notes here. The kings which were forecast or prophesied to eventually come to pass, they were required to write a copy of Scripture for themselves. The amount of Scripture, whatever it was that existed at the time they ruled. Each king was to read it, and listen to this, all the days of his life. How many is that? Somebody give me a percentage. How many days was the king, who probably was the busiest dude in the kingdom, how many days did he have to read the Bible? Percentage. Treasure? Treasurer's wife? 100%. Every day. Well, he's busy. He's got a lot to do. No. He had to copy it out by hand because the copier was broke and Lynn wasn't around. No, there wasn't any copy machine. He had to do it literally by hand. Boy, that'll give you some meditative idea there. Right? If you want to meditate on Scripture, try writing it out by hand. Thinking about it while you do it. Each king was to read it all the days of his life. And then it gives several reasons in this passage. One is in order to learn to fear the Lord. Let me ask you this. The king had to do this, and could do this. Most people probably didn't have access to writing stuff very much because that was hard to come by, and maybe not even the education. Why read? There's nothing to read, right? But to learn to fear the Lord. Anyone need to learn to fear the Lord or just kings? It's everyone. You see that in the book of Proverbs a lot. To be careful to observe all the words of this law and these statutes. You need to read the Bible, all of it, and you need to read it every day so that you can be careful to obey God. How about to remain humble? Isn't that a good factor? To me, that's one of the helps of reading through the Bible. Is it helps you to see not only God for who He is, but to see you for who you are. And to prevent turning aside from God's commands. And I put every one of those benefits of reading daily for kings applies to us today. You can't say, well, we don't need to fear the Lord. We don't need to be humble. We don't need to keep from obeying God. Prevent ourselves from disobeying God. Believers are also called kings and priests in Revelation 1:6. Well, technically, it could apply directly. Because the Bible calls us a nation of kings and priests. You, because you're connected to God, are royalty. Welcome to kingship. Welcome to the responsibility of royalty to walk with God. There's not one of those benefits that you do not absolutely need. And the Bible in Deuteronomy says that that's the only way the king was going to make it. To be able to walk rightly before God is to be in the Word of God every day. After he copied his own copy. Number 8 here. Believers are promised a blessing for reading. Again, this isn't an exhaustive list. I'm sure you could find a lot more here, but I was just thinking, where else does it talk about, you know, these ideas here? But believers are promised blessing for reading the book of Revelation, at least. The promised blessing may also relate to the entire Bible, because it says here, and I put the verse here, Revelation 1:3, blessed is he who reads, and those who hear the words of this prophecy. If that's not a command, it's certainly an encouragement to read the words of the prophecy and to keep those things that are written in it, to know it, to learn it, and to keep it, right? And I cut off part of the verse because it wasn't precisely pertinent there. But that's the idea. There's a blessing for reading the book of Revelation. And maybe it's speaking, because it's in the book of the Revelation, maybe it's speaking all-encompassing about the entire Bible, not just the book of Revelation. But let me tell you, I believe there's blessing for reading all of the Word of God. Number 9. Believers are, by definition, and the word learners, apparently I didn't underline all of these, the word learners, they're required to know and grow in the knowledge of the Lord. A disciple is one who is a learner. And it takes time, effort, and energy. How many of you think you could have learned to read in the amount of time you've attended church? I mean, growing up. Because they had me in Miss Marquis's kindergarten class learning the numbers and letters for a whole... Was it a whole year kindergarten was? Is it a half a day for a whole year? I must have been really thick-headed. As well as the whole class. And they didn't even really start teaching us how to read words till the next year. And we went every day for hours and hours. 180 days a year? Just to learn the basics? For 13 years? For most of us, right? Kindergarten and 12 grades beyond that? What makes you think you can learn to walk with God by just an hour here and an hour there? Right? Total it up and you probably wouldn't even get like, what, 3 or 4 weeks of a normal school class. But we're learners. How do you learn? By constantly staying at it. Believers As disciples are, by definition, learners required to know and grow in the knowledge of the Lord. Listening is limited means that requires more than even listening to multiple teaching sessions each week. You can't just learn by listening. We've already illustrated that. Colossians, or Matthew 28, teaching them to observe. If people aren't observing, it's because they're not being taught enough or they're not learning enough. They aren't taking it the rest of the way. Because observing is the same as what? Observing is more than knowing, it's what? Doing it. Right? You're observing the commands. Right? That's the intent of discipleship. So you study it, you learn it, you read it till you know it. Colossians 2, I just put verse 7 here. There's 6 through 8 is all part of it. But notice this. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. That isn't just slightly familiar. It's built strong in the faith. As you have been what? Taught. Abounding in it with thanksgiving. It's an ongoing, persistent attention to learn until you've been built up in that. Number 10, believers today have, and the word that should be underlined is access to the Scriptures. The last two are a little bit more circumstantial, but I think there's still biblical principles that cover it. Believers today have access to the Scriptures where others throughout history did not. You can't say, well, the people of old days, you know, Abraham didn't read the Bible every day. Did you know that? Anyone? Why? He read all the Bible there was. Nothing. Right? Nobody until Moses. So you can't say, well, no, you know, they didn't even go to church. Because the church didn't start till after Jesus rose from the dead. So you can't use that argument to say they didn't do it in the Old Testament, so we don't have to do it now. Things have changed over time. The requirements have changed. The translation, transmission, the invention of the printing press, the availability of paper, which is no small thing. Paper? You ever watch the Waltons and they gave them a writing pad and that John Boy got a... You don't even know who the Waltons are? They gave him the writing pad and you would have thought he got a new car. A writing pad. Right? Paper. Just the availability of paper. The invention of digital storage and transmission. In other words, you can store stuff on a hard drive, in a memory on your computer or in your phone. Right? It's digitized so that all the pictures don't have to be printed out and put in photo albums. They're hidden someplace on the internet where no one can see them. Right? Enabling the word on audio and mobile devices and the educating of people who can read all give us both the opportunity and the responsibility that others did not have. You cannot hold other people to the same responsibility that you do because they didn't have it. If they didn't know how to read, don't expect them to be able to read every day. If they didn't have a copy of the Word of God, like you have a whole bunch of copies of the Word of God, right? You do. One way or another on your computer or otherwise. You have a different responsibility than people who never had a copy of the Word of God. And that would have been after, what? When was the printing press? 1400 and something? Right? And even then, it wasn't readily available right away to everybody. Right? Now we can run, you know, little Ted prints off junk mail, right? Because we do, right? That's that prolific. Why? Because everyone can read. To whom much is given, much is required. I think that's a legitimate argument that because you have the Bible, you need to read the whole Bible. Because you've been taught to read, and most of you, if not all of you, have been educated to high school or beyond high school, I think you have a greater responsibility because your understanding level is greater. And number 11, believers today have, the word is time. And some of you will get mad at me right away because you say, I don't have time. Well, hang on here. Believers today have time to read like no other culture and no other generation. Let me read what I have here. I just looked this up today just to make sure, but the average American watches 5 hours of TV a day. And even more if you're older, average. And spends over three hours a day online. How much did we say you had to read to read through the Bible in a year? A third of an hour. 20 minutes. And they said, altogether, because it's kind of hard to differentiate now TV and the internet and stuff, altogether the average person spends 11 hours a day in front of some kind of screen. Now, part of that's probably work, but I guarantee you it's not all work, and I have never been paid to watch TV. Unless you're hiring. And that's not intended to be an indictment. I have a question that follows. How can that be? How can people spend 5 hours average a day watching TV or movies or whatever, and in addition to that, over 3 hours Facebook, Twitter, online, whatever, you know, all of the different possibilities. Maybe it's just shopping. Maybe it's doing genealogy. That would probably be where you'd find me more. How is this even possible? This is my point here. We have all of this time available to us that they've never had in all of history. And here's why. We no longer grow our own food. I'm saying you can grow a little bit of food, but I guarantee you don't live off of what you grow. You have to go out and buy it, right? You don't have to live off of just what you grow. And Kevin said, thank you, Lord, right? We no longer grow our own food or raise our own meat. We used to be an agricultural culture for the most part. Now it's what, 3% of the people are farmers now, something like that. It used to be 90-some%. We no longer have to walk places. You probably, every one of us here, except maybe Jonathan, traveled farther to get here today than most people would travel in a month just to get to church for one service today. Someone said that Jesus didn't travel more than, what was it? It was 20 miles in any direction. We no longer have to walk places or to prepare and ride a beast that we feed and care for. It's like, oh, well, they had horses. Do you know anything about horses? Do you know how much it costs to feed and care for a horse and how much hassle it is to get a horse ready to go somewhere? You ever lived around the Amish? We did for a while. Man, when it's 20 below zero and you see the old Amish going down the road in a cart, I'd have been a poor Amish person. We have appliances that speed up almost any task, including Bible study. You can right-click and search on the root word for anything and instantly see that. Where it would have taken men hours, days, or longer to do that. You can look up in the Strong's Concordance and find every occurrence of a particular word in the Bible in seconds. And that's just a book. We have appliances that speed up almost any task and allow us to avoid going to the store, it should say, for our daily needs. Maybe you just have to go to the market almost every day to get what you needed because you had no way to store food. We no longer are required to bake, I should say bread, bake break. We are no longer required to bake bread. You can bake bread. In fact, bring me some if you do. I'm okay with baked bread, but we no longer have to. We are not required to bake bread, cook from scratch, pump or heat water. Have you ever had to go to a place where you had to pump water from a well? And that's where you got your water. And if you wanted it warm, you had to heat it up. You know what I do at my house? To get a hot water, I just turn that thing and it's hot. Life is good. Right? And you don't have to cut firewood. Now you can if you want. I have some firewood in my backyard, but I don't stay warm because of firewood. All of that, people used to have to do to survive. You know, slaughter the hog was a big deal kind of thing. And now you just like, what do you want to eat tonight? I'll go to the freezer and pull some out. Or, you know, if worst case scenario, I'll have to run to the store and it's all ready for me. And I'll warm up the oven while I'm gone. There's all kinds of time. The Bible says that we're to redeem the time. Because the days are evil. And I would almost dare say, don't you say you don't have time. Not now in this culture. It's how you use your leisure time is the issue. Because we don't have to do any of this. I'm not saying you're not busy. But there's a lot of stuff you don't have to do. And so you have all this time to do all this other stuff. Anyway. There's no command to read the Bible, or is there? I think there's a mandate for lots of different reasons, and here's at least 11 of them, and I don't think there's only 11. Questions or comments? It's hard to start reading through your Bible.
Point number 7, could have added the verse Psalm 103:2. Bless the Lord of my soul, forget not all his benefits.
Yeah. And how do you not forget all that? You have to be continually reminded, right? Good. It's hard when, and I didn't read through my Bible. I did it as a, you know, I read big sections of it in the army, and then I had to read it for class, which is not the best case scenario. When you have to read through the Old Testament because someone's making you in a short amount of time while you're doing all this other stuff. I'm saying that's just what was required for Old Testament law, history, and poetry, and the prophets, and I think we had both of those at the same time. I guess it was New Testament survey and Old Testament prophets or something like that. But I'm saying when I started, and it was after I became a pastor, and I started methodically reading through the scriptures, it was hard at first. I wasn't used to it. But I tell you what, you get used to it to the point where you miss it. And you know it's there, but it's... And I read through the Bible every year. I don't remember it all. But it keeps bringing me back. It keeps reminding me. It keeps exposing me to things that I will never have a chance to study otherwise. About the God that made me, who saved me, and wants me to live for Him. And there's no way I can apart from reading the Word of God, because I can't know it all and I can't remember it all without doing that. And I'm guessing you're the same way. Anything else? What do you think Kevin thinks you should do? I mean, this is an opinion poll here. Do you think he thinks you should read through the Bible every year? I think you should. At the very least, I would read a chapter a day, but I'm telling you, in 3 1/2, 3 1/3 years, you forget so much. I think the reading through in a year, it isn't that long. If you're one that even watches an hour of TV or spends any amount of time on Facebook, you're a hypocrite if you say you don't have time. There's 23 minutes of advertisements even on an hour of programming. That's how much time is wasted every hour of broadcast television. Right? So I would say if you have any kind of extra time that you do any kind of stuff, God says it's not extra. You got priorities. And I'm not saying you should only spend 15 or 20 minutes, but start somewhere. And in 15 to 20 minutes, you can read through the entire Bible. And let me tell you, you won't remember it all, and you'll need to start over. And there's lots of different ways to do it, too. It's just wonderful. So... All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. And help us to read your word, not just carry it and not just talk about it, but help us to read it so that we might at least be exposed to all of your truth every year. Lord, we don't remember it all, but we need it all. And it's all profitable. Help us to keep coming back to your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.